Andrea Chang is in the studio tonight. She's one of our fine local authors who has written 19 books for young readers. Her book, Grandfather Counts, was named one of 50 multicultural books every child should know, was a Reading Rainbow selection, and named an honor book by the Society of School Librarians International. Her book, Only One Year, was named one of Bank Street College's Best Children's Books of the Year. Her current book, which we'll talk about tonight, is titled Etched in Clay. Andrea, welcome.
Thank you.
I've been so looking forward to talking with you about this book because Etched in Clay is this remarkable story of someone that we might not have known had it not been for you and perhaps a PBS presentation. Totally heroic man. So we only know for sure that he was named Dave. Tell us who he was, where and when he lived. What did he do?
Much of what we know about Dave is really speculative because we have bills of sale and we have the pots.
And Dave was a slave.
So we really don't have a whole lot to go on. And part of what I went on to find out about Dave was a book by Leonard Todd called Carolina Clay, in which he kind of researched the life of Dave. Dave was, we think, born around 1801. The first record is that he was sold in 1817. When he was 16 or 17 years old, he became probably the best potter in all of South Carolina. And not only that, I mean, his pots are amazing and they're gorgeous, and that in itself is pretty just amazing. But he dared to write on his pots and sign his pots with his name at a time that he could have been severely punished for writing. And to me, that was just so heroic, and it was his talent and his ability that gave him the courage, the confidence, the power to do that. Because I think Dave knew that if somebody was going to punish him, who was going to make their pots? So that gave him the confidence that he needed to do what he really needed to do, which was write.
And these pots are pretty extraordinary, too, not only in their design, but in their capacity.
They're huge. And he developed his own way of making these very big pots. He threw them on the potter's wheel, the bottom part. But when he started making the really big pots toward the end of his life, he also made coils of clay that he put on top of what he threw on the potter's wheel. So it was kind of a combination of hand building and pottery and thrown on the wheel to make the really, really big pots that he made in the second half of his life.
I think we don't actually know how he learned to read and write. But we should emphasize that a slave could literally be killed for having learned this skill. So he was putting his life on the line. If you would, read us a passage from this book. And we're going to come back to this, but I should say that this is written in verse to sort of match how Dave wrote, which was
and
in verse.
Really, the book came to me that way. Some people have asked me, why did you write it in verse? And I really can't answer it, except for that I heard the voice of Dave that way. I heard the voices of the people around him. The book is told from the point of view of several people. Dave, his owners, which there were five, his wives. He had two wives that were both sold away from him, as far as we know. It's told in many voices, and all of it's in verse. I think it came to me that way because Dave's a poet, and so it seemed the right way to do it, and I never really considered any other way of doing it. I didn't try any other way. This poem is called Silence, and it's in the voice of Dave from 1844. I center the mound of clay, draw up a jar, slice it off the wheel, and set it on the shelf to dry. Now I am a silent potter machine. In my head, I cannot stop the words from flowing. Lamentable, philanthropic, disenfranchised, vulnerable. But I don't write them down, and the words float away like twigs in a stream, stuck on a rock for a moment, and then gone.
Repeat those words, if you would, that are on paper in italics and are floating in his brain.
Lamentable, philanthropic, disenfranchised, vulnerable. Dave loved words. From everything I could tell, he loved the sound of words. He loved big words. He loved playing with words. He loved plays on words. And a lot of his couplets that he wrote on the pots are very cryptic and actually funny. And so I think that he was just a man of language, a man of words. I think that resonated with me. I like words. Dave liked words. I like clay. Dave liked clay. I think that's why I wanted to tell this story. I think primarily, though, because I see Dave as a hero that we never learn about. I never learned about him in school. I mean, I learned some things about slavery. We learned about Nat Turner. But why don't we know stories like this? And I think it's because there's very little to go on. So when people are writing biographies, they think, oh, how can I write this? There isn't enough.
One of the things that I was thinking about when I read this book is that in our lives, there are milestones like graduation, marriage, births, all recorded. In Dave's life, all you have are records of when and to whom he was sold.
Right.
I wouldn't call the verse stark, but it is, it flows very smoothly, but it is simplified.
Spare.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And in that way, sort of exemplified his life, it seemed to me, honored his life.
And I think Dave, in the writing that he did on the pots, he had to be very spare and he had to be very cryptic because he couldn't be direct. And I think he was very, very clever at doing this. Must have just been a person that just had an exceptional talent, a way with words, with language. And because he had to say everything indirectly, he couldn't come out and say things, they came out in cryptic verses on his pots. We do have those couplets on his pots to piece together his life. So we have records of sales, but we also have the pots themselves and the poems, because I think without that, it would be nearly impossible to piece together anything.
Dave sustains a pretty severe injury at a certain point in his life. Though he lives beyond and through the Civil War, he basically stays in South Carolina in this area known for its pottery. So what happens to him that keeps him fixed in place, if you will?
He lost one of his legs, and he was called the one-legged potter. But again, because of his tremendous talent, people realized, well, he has one leg, but he can still make pots. And there was a man in the area that had lost the use of his arms. And so this man kicked the wheel while Dave made the pots. So he continued to, and I can't imagine, because when you're throwing pots on a potter's wheel, the way you move the wheel sort of informs the way you move your arms and the way you make the pot. So that seems like it would be incredibly hard to do.
He must have been an amazing team.
Mm-hmm.
Dave was multi-talented. You are too. I think it's important to note that I believe, did you do all the woodcuts for this book? You certainly did the cover.
I did all the woodcuts.
What was that process like as you were thinking about him and his use of his hands as well as words?
Again, that's something that just came to me that way also. I never considered trying to illustrate this in any other way. What happened, I was working on the poems in the morning. This was really pretty upsetting and emotional for me as I was working on this, especially all the separation that he had to endure in his life. And only so long I can really think about that. Because when I'm writing something like this, I'm really involved. And so in the afternoons, I just started carving these woodblocks, just pictures that sort of came to my mind. And carving a woodblock is subtractive, so it's a little bit like writing something in clay. There's something similar about it because you're making a void. And it just came to me that way. And then I just make these in my art room, just like a little den. And then you just roll it with ink, the ink that my kids use and the rollers my kids used to use in elementary school. And you just put paper on the woodblocks and pull them off. There's nothing very fancy about doing it.
You are also the director of English as a Second Language at Cincinnati State.
Yeah.
And in fact, one of your students wrote to us and said, you should know about this lady. So we got a fan letter.
I'm so honored.
Yes. Well, isn't that wonderful to have that information coming back to you? So I'm wondering, well, I know you have children grown, I think, at this point, but when do you have time to write?
When my children were home, I wrote really early in the morning. In fact, I wrote my first novel, Marika, which was the On the Same Page selection for Cincinnati, I think in 2003. I wrote that book at 5:30 in the morning and before the kids got up. Now I have way more time, but I get less done. I can't quite understand it. And I do teach 4 days a week at Cincinnati State. I'm there pretty much all day on those days, some days long days. And then I write a lot on the weekends, early in the morning again. I'm a morning person. I write pretty fast. Once I'm doing something, I do it fast. And then I revise a huge number of times. That's where the time comes in. But mostly on the weekends and the mornings and then the summer. As a teacher, I do have more time off than a lot of other people do. So somehow, it's just something I've done for a long time. And, you know, sometimes people tell me they don't have time or they say, when I retire, I'm going to write. And I think, well, that's fine. But, you know, if you really want to do something, you'll find a way to do it.
Yes. And we're so glad you did.
And I'm very grateful to my job, too, that I do have the time to do it. And grateful to my students because they're a huge source of inspiration.
I want to thank you for visiting with us tonight.
Thank you.
I also want to thank you for bringing the story of Dave, this extra special man, to life for us all. I've been talking with Andrea Chang about her book, Etched in Clay, which received a starred review from Kirkus, noting, "At once intimate and universal, this is the riveting story of an unforgettable life lived during an unbelievable time." You'll find more information at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.